Okay, so I
Log
want
to... Talk Radio.
Now, it's the, when they do the URL, you have to say the Passions Project?
Correct, Passions with an S.
Right. And then she started to talk. You were saying, so you mentioned the URL, but was there one other thing that you were talking about?
My social media, mostly my Instagram is, I would love for people to follow me on Instagram.
Great. All right.
I
do a lot of that.
Passions Project.
Great. The Passions Project. Okay. On Instagram. Very good. So now let me coordinate a little bit with the producer. We now have our airtime for ourselves. It'll take about 40 minutes, and I'll be back in 1 second, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
So the first one's the store, right? Okay. So are you ready for the 10 seconds?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, Heidi, he's ready for us.
All right.
And we just have to do 10 seconds of silence now. Stuart, we're ready.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And yes, there he is again. It seems so long. It's been Thanksgiving. I don't know. Thanksgiving is the longest holiday in the world. We seem to prepare for it a week before. We're still digesting it a week after. And all of a sudden, it's Christmas time. So for all of those out there that are having a holly jolly, I really wish that for everybody. But please remember, I know I don't want to be the Grinch, but there are a few folks out there that are isolated, don't have the kind of fun and family that you have. And it's very easy for you to go on to the website volunteermatch.com. I'm really surprised at how many folks don't know this exists. It's all over the country. It's almost like dating, but for volunteerism. So you go there and you say, yes, I would like to spend just one day. That's all you have to do. 1 hour with children, with older adults, with people who are disabled, with folks in the hospital for a while, with veterans, to cheer them up for the holiday. So if you don't know about this, it is all in your control. You pick when you want to help, who you want to help, and how you want to help, and that is volunteermatch.com. So today we have somebody who is really following her passion, and in a big way. Her name is Heidi Wagner, and she has, focused the camera lens on aging, ageism, all kinds of folks, not just photography and passionate about aging, but about really looking into people and having us meet each other through what the camera could show. And she's the head honcho of what's called the Passions Project. You're going to hear a lot about that today. And I hope it'll light you up, not just to go to her Instagram or her website, thepassionsproject.com, but for you to unleash some of your creativity and maybe even see aging in a completely different way. So thank you so much, Heidi, for being with us today and actually for looking at aging a little differently. And let's jump in together. Tell us a little bit, describe to us the Passions Project. It's such a visual thing, but we have to give them a word picture of what you're doing here.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be talking with you today, and it's always great to have the opportunity to talk with people who are also passionate about, you know, redefining aging and creating a new view of what it looks like to be an older person in the United States. So with the Passions Project, you know, I was working at a retirement community. I was, you know, working in the wellness department. We were doing exercise programs, and I was, you know, noticing, and you notice pretty quickly too, just all the amazing things that the residents are doing. And, you know, I just decided I wanted to bring my camera more into my work because, you know, photography is also my passion. And the residents that I was working with were just people that I really enjoyed talking to and hearing about their lives and the different and all the cool things that they were doing every day. And so I just sort of brought those two things together and started asking people, what's your passion? You know, show me your interests, show me your loves. And it just sort of started opening up. Once I started taking the photos, it was amazing to see just all the amazing, cool people and all the cool things they were doing and how it started to really change my life and how it really started to inspire me to start, you know, to continue the project and to continue asking people to show me their passion and do photos around that. And it's pretty easy to see that, especially early on, I just was looking at the photos and just thinking, there is nothing like this out there for people to see people that are older doing what they love to do, whether it be, you know, art or music, doing puzzles, jumping out of airplanes, whatever it is. I mean, it can be something really, you know, just big, you know, and epic can be your passion, but also something as simple as reading is also an amazing passion as well. And, you know, I always say it doesn't need to be epic. It just needs to be your passion. And that's what makes it special.
Well, you know, I'm going to put your feet to the fire a little bit here. We will talk in a minute what is the most inspiring thing you heard and what was the most epic, let's say. But this is contra to what we think about with older adults, and particularly the way you met them. Because one of the things that you say is when you see someone doing, and I'm going to emphasize that word doing what they love to do, you no longer see their age, you see their passion. All right, so that's the mission, that's the concept. But you met people, you said, because you were in a healthcare situation where people were in a community. That means they may have left their home already, they may have had some decline, and I'm telling you, and you may know better than me, that there are activity directors knocking their brains out there trying to get older adults in these communities to participate in life. Now you sit down with them and all of a sudden all the passions come out and all the things they're doing come out. There's a disconnect to me here. And I really want to ask you, are the folks in the industry missing something? Is it that you're speaking to them one-on-one, or are the people you're talking to just unusual people?
I don't think they're unusual. I think there are people out there all the time doing the things that, you know, the activities and different interests and following their interests. Not to say that there aren't people that aren't, you know, sort of facing...
As engaged.
Yeah, that they're not as engaged and they're not facing isolation or just, you know, sort of the feeling, sort of buying into that idea that their time has passed. And what I'm trying to do with the Passions Project is find the people who are still continuing to do and pursue their passions and finding new passions as well as rekindling old ones in order to create that connection between, you know, those that perhaps aren't following their passion. And I don't think that it's unique to older adult people that are not following their passion. I see, you know, personally, there's times when I've not been in a place with my career, with my life, with connecting with friends, where I am feeling pretty isolated myself. And I see a lot of people sort of kind of putting their nose to the grindstone and not really thinking about what they're doing, but more just trying to be in a career, and maybe it's not something they connect with. I think of all of those people as somewhat being disconnected and isolated from their passion as well. So I'm sort of using older adults as my subject to be the example for everybody to say, when you're connected to your passion, that's when you are your most alive.
Yes, you know, the possibility here is for the Gen Xers, for the millennials. Now they have Xennials, don't even ask. But the point is that we have this wonderful intergenerational possibility here. The amount of money spent on self-actualization courses, of finding your passion, let's say, after retirement, for baby boomers that have no decline. They have some money, they have good health. They are my listeners, actually. They're folks that are passionate about their own longevity, but they're a little bit lost. What will we do next? And then we see that in our own children, we have the same sort of thing. So we're going to come back. We're going to take a little bit of a break now to tell everybody about our store. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the passions that have come to the surface and how we can spread the word about the Passions Project. But right now, let's hear a bit about our new store. Hooray, our Generation Bold store is up and running. Just visit our website, generationboldradio.com, for access to unique products and services like luggage forwarding for your next trip, gorgeous Brazos canes and hiking sticks, Wander Club charms to commemorate your every adventure. I handpicked everything in the store to add fun and ease to your life. It makes a great gift, it's priced right, and it's of the finest quality whatever has been selected. All these items truly enhance my life, and I want you to discover them as well. Visit GenerationBoldRadio.com and see for yourself. Okay, now a couple of announcements before we take our break and then come back with Heidi Wagner. Please take a look at Instagram. You're going to see something that is extraordinary, and that is the Passions with an S, the Passions Project. Also, new announcement, kind of related to this, and that is my new book is coming out in a couple of weeks. It is called The Retirement Income Explosion. Now, yes, I will admit it is a financial book. That's what I'm known for. That's what I do. But it really does deal with your passions. In fact, it starts and ends with who do you want to be? I call it a David. Michelangelo said he took a lump of marble, at least that's the story, and he carved out away everything that wasn't David, and what was left was David. And so what I'm asking you all to do is find out who you are. Yes. We don't always know, regardless of our age. We will be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so now you see how it goes, right? We're not on the air now. We're taking a little break between
okay.
the segment. And what we're going to, I do want to talk about intergenerational. So before we go back on, who's seeing this? Or is it people in the industry? Is it the older adults' families? Who's looking at your photography and getting involved in the Passions Project?
Usually the, like mostly the community, the people that live there, the residents, their families, people that come into the community. And I also really encourage the organizations to use the photographs as part of their marketing. So it can be sort of more of a citywide thing or kind of, you know, their outer community around them. but
Very
also
good.
Use it as a way to redefine aging or to talk about ageism as well. So, you know, the pictures have been, you know, billboards, but they also like have lived at, you know, they also are at the Leading Age organization in Washington, D.C. It's their public art there, and they're using it to sort of educate people about ageism as well.
So you are going, I mean, the way you monetize it is that you go to different organizations that are communities, and it becomes basically part of their marketing. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I just want to be sure I'm right. Okay,
yeah.
Good. So we're going to talk about intergenerationalism. You'll see. We'll talk about and what you should think. I will ask you what is the most epic or most surprising, that's maybe better, a passion that you heard somebody tell you. Okay? So, Stuart,
yes.
We're ready.
Okay. Doing the
ERAS? Yeah, we'll do that. What is that? I forgot already.
ERAS?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, good. No problem.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. It's the Fountain of Truth about aging. And I'm really very excited. I'm not supposed to say anything. I'm just such a baby, though. I have not written a book under my own name alone since 2008. I've written many books. If you're reading a financial book, it may have been ghostwritten by me. And today we have Heidi Wagner, and she is a photographer. She is somebody who's an advocate with regard to ageism and stamping out ageism. And she's an artist in her own right. And she is also the head honcho of thepassionsproject.com. So what happened to me, Heidi, was I got fed up. This is the truth. I just got fed up writing for other people and under their names. And that's what I do. I'm like a content machine. So I decided to write a book, and it's been 10 years, but I'm very excited about it. It's not out yet. I'm not supposed to say anything. So I'm telling everybody, because I'm like a 3-year-old, you know, with this thing. So it's called The Retirement Income Explosion, but that wasn't good enough. You know, now that it's 10 years later, everything is about online. As you know, go to Instagram,
yeah,
go to
exactly.
The Passions Project. Yeah, you know. So of course it's got these bonuses, which you have to go online for. And that's new to me, creating the online connection with my readers. And it's very exciting. So I will be announcing it. It'll be in our store. It'll be, of course, on Amazon and hopefully in bookstores and everywhere. All right. So let's go back to this. You have created a system where you go to different kinds of communities, maybe assisted living communities, senior residences, and you speak to the people directly about their personal passions. You take photographs and you create the Passions Project. And these different communities use it for marketing purposes, use it for mission purposes, for articulating the wonderful life you can live in these communities. But you must have had a lot of surprises when you sit down. I mean, after a certain age, I know me, I lose my filter. I just did that with the book.
Exactly.
And I say whatever. Yeah, I say whatever I please, right? So what's been the most surprising things that you've learned from the Passions Project?
Well, I would say there's been several moments where I have blushed. You know, people will say things that I'm completely I'm not expecting it whatsoever. And whether it's talking about past relationships or, you know, different interesting stories that have happened to them, it's always, you know, people never cease to amaze me. And I am constantly surprised and amazed by what people share and are willing to talk about. One person that I sat down with, it was in Fort Worth, Texas. Amazing man. He was a singer, And he lived in the Los Angeles area for many years, was part of a doo-wop group in the 50s and 60s, had kind of a revival of popularity a little bit later. But they were called the Rivingtons. But when he realized
that... Yes, I know that. That's my time.
You know the Rivingtons?
And so I know. Sure.
Yes. Oh, he was amazing. So he and I met at a... You know, he was living at a retirement community. I was working at Christian Care Senior Living in Fort Worth, Texas, and they, you know, they knew of his passion, but, you know, since he had been living in Los Angeles his whole life and he moved to Texas, people in Texas didn't really know about his history or his past. And so when the Passions Project came to Fort Worth, he was a person that volunteered to be a part of it. And we went, he was like dressed and, you know, you've probably seen the pictures of the Rivingtons and they're all in their
yep.
red tuxedos.
Yep.
He still had his red tuxedo. We went to a theater, we put the music over the loudspeaker and it was playing and he was standing there with a mic and he just started doing all the motions. You know, when you're in a duo
right.
group, you all kind of have like synchronized motions. And he
yep.
started doing that. And, you know, one of their songs is The Birds of the Word. And he just was talking. He just kept saying, "Heidi, the birds of the word, the birds of the word." And he was so excited, and just how he just exploded with energy and excitement. And oh, I still tear up when I think about his photo shoot. And so then later, when I saw him, you know, a couple months later, I'll go back and they'll do like an opening of like an art opening of their project. I saw Mr. Harris, and I said, "Well, what do you think of your picture?" And he said to me, "Thanks for making me famous again."
Yep.
And it's just that idea is that people have these lives and have lived incredible lives. And many times when they move to a community, people don't know that past. And it's something people are really proud of, but not something they're able to really, you know, can find ways to engage with people around. And then people started asking him about his past and his telling stories. And he even started performing again with a musician that was coming into the community and doing music, you know, activities. So he was able to reconnect with music and his passion and the way, and it just, that's just really the heart and the soul of what the Passions Project is really about.
Well, you know, it really is. There are projects called Wisdom Projects and so on where we get a chance to share. And it is just all too rare. Wisdom and experience as a commodity. And I'm going to say this as a commodity because I'm a business person, is undervalued. It is an incredibly valuable commodity. And when you have that kind of journey that you take with somebody, it's such a rich experience for you. We're going to take again a little bit of a break. We come back. I want to talk about spreading the word intergenerationally and what this could do for the younger generation. Right now, let's take a couple of seconds to hear about a health breakthrough. And then we will take our break. We'll be right back. Have you heard of the ERAS Society? It stands for Enhanced Recovery After Surgery, and it gives you the protocols for good nutrition, a major factor in good recovery before, during, and after surgery. Outcome studies reveal that a carbonated drink 2 hours before surgery reduces insulin resistance and muscle loss. Nutritional supplements 5 days before offers better recovery. There are formulated products made especially for those undergoing surgical procedures. Find the guidelines to discuss with your surgeon at ERAS.org. Now, for those of you who don't know, we very recently, after 4 or 5 years, began an online store. And it honestly is very limited because I look very carefully at what I am suggesting to you. It's only things that I use and I think will enhance your life. What I'm looking for right now, and I'm talking to many, many companies everywhere, are these kinds of supplements. I mean, we are inundated with take this thing, take that thing. I have many friends who tell me they take 15 or 16 supplements every single day. But what is really indicated from a scientific point of view? And I am working with the companies to let you know. Meanwhile, there's a lot of fun on that site. Just go to our radio site, generationboldradio.com, and you can also put in your email address and you'll get our a little too, it's not a big newsletter. It's every single Monday. It tells you what's going on in the field of aging, about our blog, about who's on the air. So join us. Be part of the movement, GenerationBoldRadio.com. We'll be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so now, again, we're off, and I wanted to talk about the generational aspect of this, and we'll also mention leading age and so on, but I'll ask you, have you found a lot of support? I mean, when you go into the communities, do they say, oh, this is just what we're looking for, or is there some resistance in letting you do this?
I think the people that I meet are tend to be sort of ready for something new and different, a way of sort of bridging that gap between talking about the amazing people that live at their community to wanting to really highlight and show the people, you know, the amazing people that live there. So not a ton of resistance, not really, I don't really find a lot of resistance. There are people, like they're the people I'm working with, and then there's other people within the community that will be like, well, I don't get it, you know, but
I think the people would like it. But it's usually operators of the marketing department. That's the ones I don't know.
The marketing people, I think, are ready. Like, they see the value of the project. They see the value of storytelling. And I think that this is a really powerful storytelling tool. So they are, you know, and I think a lot of places suffer from wanting to find stock photography and it not really being
compelling,
truly telling their story. Yeah, it's all, and everybody's not using the same. Like, if there's really good shots, everybody's using them. It's not unique to you at all.
Exactly. I'm going to say that actually on the air. You'll laugh. So we're ready to go.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, later.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. During this wonderful holiday season, as I started the show, I will say again, if you want to go to volunteermatch.com, you'll be well rewarded by spending a few minutes, an hour or so, that's all you need. If you have more time, that's even more wonderful, with somebody who is isolated or somebody who's not getting visitors for the holidays in a senior community, in a foster care type of facility, in the hospitals, and so on. This is the time to reward yourself and to step back and to really feel good about yourself. There are so many ways, but none of them have to do with getting gifts for yourself, but really giving. I know it sounds sappy, but it is true. And one of those persons who is doing that and trying to do it 24/7 is Heidi Wagner, who is our guest. She has created thepassionsproject.com. It's even nice to say it, where she goes to a variety of senior residences and communities, talks to the people about their personal passions, brings them out, takes photographs. They become part of public displays. They become part of the programs in the different communities, and it's really, really working out. So Heidi, let me ask you about this. We do have a lot of ennui, using an old term, an old sophisticated term. We're just kind of bored. And I see this. I see this in young people, too. They're passionless, and they get passionate about politics because that's what they have to be passionate about right now. And that's always good. I mean, I'm the boomer generation. We began passionate about politics. If you weren't arrested at least once, you were nobody. So I get that. It's true. But There's a lot more that can be done and ignited. I love that word, ignited, by one person to another. Is it possible, are we too ageist, in your opinion, to look at these passions that you're eliciting from people and have them ignite us if we're younger? Or do we just say, well, those are, you know, old people, it's old gods, pass them by, and we cannot get infected with their passion? Or do you think we have something there? And I don't give this to you as a loaded question. I'm really not sure.
Well, it's my hope that people do, because the one of the big things that I love about the Passions Project, and that is one of my missions around it, is just that I wanted to create connections and break down barriers between generations, between this idea of what aging is, what it truly is, and what it people perceive it to be. And with connection, you know, we are always trying to, like, even in politics and even in our world, especially right now, we are putting each other in all these different boxes, you know, and labeling them, like, you're this and you're that, you're old, you're young, you're, you know, you are Republican, you're Democrat. And so we're putting ourselves in these boxes, and these boxes are creating separation between people. So for me, I would love to see how, and when people see the photographs, when people start engaging with the photographs, that they don't see people as someone different than them. They see them as someone they connect to and can connect to around a passion or something that of interest. And whether it be, oh, I know somebody who has an interest like that and I'm interested in it, or that is my interest and that is my passion, and I want to talk to this person more about this passion that we share. So it's more about creating connection than, you know, tearing us apart or keeping us separate. And that's really one of my main goals, and something that I see happen with the project a lot, and I'm really encouraged. So I don't think that there is no bridge that can't be, you know, brought together, you know, that we can bridge these gaps. And I think we can do it with finding commonality within passion, our passions.
You know, I think that is true. It's interesting. First of all, I belong to an organization called Gen to Gen that I talk about a lot, called Generation to Generation. And that is a grassroots effort to have people who want to do intergenerational projects, how to do it, get everybody together in a community in an intergenerational way. And it isn't easy. It really isn't. And I think I really lighted on something here. Let me explain what I mean. The entire intergenerational community right now, in my view, is working in the wrong direction. They are working with regard to age. So either it's younger people helping older people, making up for a deficit, push them around in their chair or sing songs, come and sing holiday songs to them. Or occasionally, you'll get a younger person, like we had on our show the other day, a young lady, she's only 17, she's a Miss Teen America pageant winner, who is writing books for children about how wonderful it is to be older, called A Different Kind of Crown. So you see a couple of these things, but it's always one helping the other, and usually it's the younger people volunteering for the older people, just like I said on Volunteer Match. You rarely have it the other way. You rarely have the older people sharing what they know and helping the younger people to see what their life might be like if they followed that particular passion. There is so much that we could contribute. And I'll tell you one funny story here, and then I really do want to know a little bit more about where people can see the Passions Project photos. A little funny story, Heidi. I have very good skin. Poo, poo, poo. I don't want to ruin that. I don't want the Greek gods to look upon me. But I happen to have. So I use rose oil, any kind. And my hairdressers are all in their early 20s. And all they want to know about is, how do I keep my skin that way? So from this discussion about a shared passion, and what is our shared passion? Vanity. That's our shared passion. We're very vain. We never met a mirror we didn't look into. So from this shared passion, we have had real relationships going with young 20s year olds, which started with skincare, then went on to hair care, then went on to health care, now travel, and I'm helping them create their first trips to Europe. All of these things have nothing to do with business or career. They're just that I have a world of wisdom in certain areas where the passions are the same. If they were musical, I couldn't help them. So these are the things we have to do. We have to stop just, as you say, putting ourselves in silos, in social silos. There's so much we could talk about, and I learn a lot from them too. So let's go back to that. I know that Leading Age, other areas have public displays. Tell me about some of the places that people could see the pictures.
Well, I've worked with different organizations around the country, and, you know, there's obviously opportunities to just go in and see it. Leading Age is one of the biggest, is the biggest installation that was done. Most of the time I go into a community and I do like a series of 20 photos of a community, of people that live in that community or a part of that organization in some way. And with Leading Age, they did an installation within their headquarters in Washington, D.C., and it was a 90-piece installation, and it's throughout their entire building. And what they're doing, which I think is incredible and amazing, and I encourage other places to do the same, is they're using their public art in their building, which is the Passions Project, as a way of bringing people to their mission, to their building, and to talk about what is ageism and what does it mean to follow your passion. And I think when you have that chance to really interact with the photos, I mean, photography is meant to live, you know, within our world, not just on our phones or on our computers, but something that's experiential that you can go see, and it, you know, it has more depth and really can move you in different ways. And so to have that chance to have people see the Leading Age installation and be a part of a conversation and about what's your passion and, you know, and also, you know, what does it mean to be an older person in the United States and what is ageism? It's a pretty awe-inspiring opportunity.
So I want everybody to know, yesterday by coincidence, I was at a Women in Photography show in New York City.
Really?
And there's also in that same building, which is on 28th Street, West 28th Street in Manhattan, the Carter Burden Gallery. Carter Burden is a senior center in Manhattan. But many of the people there are true artists, and they started a gallery. And that gallery stands up to just about any other gallery in the city of New York, including in Soho. And these folks are selling their paintings, and they're selling their art. And they're very expensive, by the way. This is not your craft fair, your local craft fair. So these are people who somebody took the time to find out what their passion was. They joined organizations that were not age-based, and they are really, really popping. We'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more about ageism. It's an important topic. Don't go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so I think, Stu, is this our last segment? We're going to start with it. Yeah, we're going to start with it. So this is the segment where I do want to get your take on ageism, but the question I want to ask you, Heidi, is how has it changed your ideas? And obviously, you are already somebody open, you know, to not being ageist.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not so easy for all of us. We have ageism against ourselves. So
absolutely, everywhere.
Yeah. So I will be asking you that. Okay.
Sounds great.
And now, because it is our last segment, is there anything else you'd like to get out?
No, I mean, we've covered a lot of ground. I think it's great. I think we've done well.
Wonderful. All right, Stu, we're ready.
Okay, You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. So please go ahead and go to generationboldradio.com. There's a couple of things you can do there. First of all, you can hear our archived shows. There's a good 40 hours of shows there, perhaps more. We've been around for a long time, and we're adding our archived shows every single month. Second of all, you can give us your email address, and every single Monday, you will get some hints and tips on successful aging and previews of our radio shows, blogs, and other things coming up, and discounts for our store. And finally, you can go on our store if you're interested in keto type of meals, if you're interested in weight loss meals, medically nutritional meals, or if you're just having fun and you're going to Europe and you're sick and tired of buying souvenirs that nobody's going to want and you're going to have to figure out where to put, you might just want to buy a token with the name of the country or state you're going to, put it on a beautiful charm, costs only $4, and a free meal will be given to a hungry child for every single token you buy. There are more things on our website, but this is the type of thing that I'm looking for all the time. Now, before we go any further, you know that I've been writing about financial gerontology for many years. The question you ask me all the time is about Social Security. Let's hear a little bit about Social Security before we go back to our guest, Heidi Wagner, and we talk a little bit more about the Passions Project. Social Security, here we go. With all the noise in the news, I bet you have not heard of Social Security 2100. That is a new legislation that has been proposed starting February of this year, but it has not been voted into law. If it was, it would be the first real Social Security reform in decades. Now, what would it do? It would raise benefits for everybody by about 2%, and those would be tax-free. But it would also increase the amount that workers pay into the system. The proponents say it would only cost about 50 cents a week, the cost of a latte. Naysayers are not so sure. They wonder if it's going to be too expensive because in addition to the 2% bump up, the minimum benefit would be at least 25% above the poverty line for low-income earners. The increases for everyone would not be taxable, and there would be COLAs, cost of living increases, not based on the CPI, Consumer Price Index, but on something I've been talking about for years, the ECPI, which is a much higher inflation rate because of health care costs. So under Social Security 2100, you'd get more, but others would pay more. Now remember, this is not a law as yet, and if it becomes so, there'll probably be many changes before we get the final version. Now, it sounds good for some, bad for others. Whatever the outcome, though, I do applaud the fact that Social Security is in the news. All right, Heidi, you know that's going to be very big. Who's going to be able to pay for our great longevity and for our passions? But right now, I think that ageism is part of that equation. The more we see older adults as the other and the more burdensome they think of us, the less anybody is willing to give us the entitlements that we've paid in for in Social Security and so on. Now you've been grappling face-to-face with this issue of ageism, and a lot of what you do in the Passions Project is to bust the myths. But for you personally, what has it meant? Have you thought about aging differently?
I have, actually. You know, it's one of those things where when I go and talk to people, people are... Our older people sometimes can be some of the most aged people that you might encounter, you know, in many ways because they have been, you know,
they're all old
sort
people.
They've been bombarded with these messages for longer than everybody else and in different ways,
right,
and over, you know, generations as well. So, you know, asking me to like, oh, can you take away some of the wrinkles or can, you know, make me look younger or, and, you know, and you hear some of that, and my response is you are beautiful for who you are, And we're here to talk about, you know, that beautiful part of you. And so if I'm going to say that to people, then I also need to live it myself, is the way that I feel about it. So I have been challenged to be okay with my own aging process and what I see, because, you know, every, you know, whether it's, we look back and go, oh, and when I, you know, I was an athlete growing up and I could just throw my body around with very little consequence, and that's not the case anymore. And whether I lament that or I, you know, find new ways to take care of myself, it's so much about our perspective of how we want to look at it. Do we want to look at it as something to be mourned, or as something to look forward to, as an opportunity to find different ways of being an amazing person in this world?
You know, I have a friend, she's my oldest friend in terms of how long we've been friends, not in terms of her age. And we actually went to our 50th college reunion. And I asked her what she wanted for her future. And she said, I want to stay interesting. And that was fascinating to me. But it sounds like all the folks you talk to, they are interesting. It's just getting through the layer of the skin, of the skin. And then you get the beauty inside. And that's what photography does for you. Have you always been interested in photography? Is that something, a passion that you put aside and now you've picked up?
Yes. I mean, I have all of that. I have been interested in photography ever since I was very young. And I was always fascinated by the opportunity to see the world in a little bit different way and for me to sort of express the differences that I saw. But it has come and gone in my life, and I started to reconnect with photography probably about three or four years before I started doing the Passions Project. I started to reconnect with my own passion and with photography, and I was doing more kind of like landscapes and you know, kind of objects, abstract kind of photography, and not really getting into portraiture as much. And then when I decided to embark on doing these photos, you know, around people and their passions, it has now become that the main focus of my photography is, you know, based on portraiture. And it's landscapes are one thing. They don't talk back or
no, right. They don't ask you to take the wrinkles out of their leaves.
Exactly. They, you know, I think
But this is
the greatest challenge and the greatest reward to work with people I want people to feel value, and I want people to see the value of the photos, and that the people that we're talking to aren't older people. They're just people living their passion. And I want our culture to not be an ageist culture. I want us to be a passionate culture.
Well, that's beautiful and beautifully said, and a great way for me to end our show today with telling everybody again, it's the Passions with an S project .com. And you know what I say every single week? Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I'm
okay. So it was a good show.
Fantastic.
That was really, really lovely. So I have a request, and that is, are we going to tell you when it's up and it's archived and all that? It's going to be playing this Sunday, and it's going to be up on archives right away, maybe even today. Right, Stu?
Yep.
Yeah, today. And, of course, it'll be in our newsletter on Monday. It'll be on my social media today and Monday and couple times next week. But my request for you is that you do the same, that you use your social media in any way you can to let people know that the show is there and that you're on it. Is that okay?
Absolutely. What is your social media?
Well, we use Twitter.
Are you on Instagram?
No. See, that's the thing.
Okay.
I wish that's kind of our next step. We did a lot of research, and it's, the demographic wasn't Instagram, but it is now. So what we have, and I'll tell you, we have a very, very robust following on LinkedIn. We have, and those are mostly the professionals. So that's mm-hmm. for you. That's kind of important. And we have a lot, like 5,000. Then we've got Twitter. Who knows? You never know with Twitter. We have Facebook. We're looking, we will have Instagram, but what's more important for you eventually is that we're creating a YouTube channel. So a time will come that we'll be revisiting this, but we'll be actually able to show the pictures and do some live mm-hmm. streaming and things of that nature. But for now, it's very robust on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Okay?
Right on. I will definitely do that.
Any hints and tips you can give us ever on what to do for Instagram, great, because that's a early 2020 goal of mine, particularly because of the book. You know, there's a lot of visuals with regards to the book.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So you have a business page there, and but what you're doing is you're posting a lot of photography, right?
Yeah, on Instagram, it's a lot of stories and photography and more like, you know, people that I meet, people that I photographed, and like I'm planning on doing kind of getting together all the photos that I've done for projects this year and sort of doing like a highlight reel of 2019 in the next couple of weeks so that people can kind of see all the photos that were done this year. But so, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of what I do, you know. Instagram is becoming a lot too, is even short video. And, you know, there's a lot, I mean, not just photo driven, but they're very much video driven, and people are doing more video stuff on that as well.
Interesting. Well, then we may be able to do that simultaneous with our YouTube, you know.
Exactly. I totally think that would be beneficial.
That's a good hint and tip. Okay, thank you very much, and spread the word. You'll get the link to everything probably today.
Please,
okay?
Yes. Oh, excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adrian. I really appreciate it. It was wonderful to reconnect.
Take care. We'll see you soon at one of the conferences. Mm-hmm. Right, bye. Bye.
Okay. Well, I don't know how we're